and welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Sabre Podcast Network. It is the bye week for Virginia, but this Virginia offense is rolling right now. It scored at least 30 points in six straight games, ranked second nationally in total yards and total points, rolling at 5-1. And I got UVA's leading receiver joining me today, Trell Harris, coming on the podcast. Trell, I know you're getting some R&R this week, but how's it going, man?
It's been good. It's been a good morning so far. Can't complain. So appreciate you for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, man. Like, how do you use a bye week? I know last year it was kind of interesting because you had just gotten injured, and so you didn't really know kind of what you were going through at that point. I mean, I know you were still trying to get back to it, but how do you use a bye week when you're healthy?
Yeah, I was honestly thinking that was like one of the last thoughts I had last night, which is thinking about just how blessed and fortunate I am this year around just thinking about just prior to last year, me pretty much getting ready for surgery and everything and whatnot. And right now I'm playing, so I can't complain. I'm the happiest man alive, though. I still get to play football right now, so it's a blessing. But honestly, just try to do a lot of self-scouting, try to see things that I can improve on for this next backstretch of the season. And then along with that, go back home, Chicago, spend some time with the family. So looking forward to that.
I was going to ask, do you have like any hobbies or anything that you try to, get in touch with when you got some time?
I mean, not right now. I mean, I'm a big nap guy. So as long as I get, I mean, usually I used to be able to do two naps a day, but you know, I can't get that in as much as I want to. So I usually get a nap in a day. And then other than that, I'm just chilling, hanging out with some of my teammates or probably on the phone with my mom or my sister or something like that.
Yeah. You said going back home to Chicago. Now, I know you would say LaGrange, though, right?
So, I mean, I saw like I grew up in LaGrange, but I did some time in Chicago. I live in Chicago too. But I mean, I'd rather put on in front of LaGrange right outside. I could say Chicago technically, but I'd rather say LaGrange.
What's your like favorite Chicago staple?
Every single time I go home, I'm going to Portillo's. Usually just me and one of my friends give me a nice little beef, extra dipped, American cheddar cheese. Then you're going to throw in some extra cheese on there. And then I'm not much of a cake shake guy. I know everybody loves cake shake, but I'm strawberry cake, strawberry smoothie or whatever it's called, milkshake kind of guy. So, yeah. Definitely that, or I'll probably go to like JJ's or Harold's or something like that, get some chicken.
I went to Chicago for the first time recently, and I got pizza, I got the hot dog. I did not get the beef though, and that was the one thing I missed on the trip. But I'm gonna have to go back and do that. Let's talk a little bit about just the start to the season. I mean, y'all are coming off two back-to-back overtime games, highly emotional. How do you feel like you're sitting right now? Does it feel like cloud nine just to get through that stretch of really tough teams that y'all played against to come out 2-0?
I don't think I really say cloud nine. I mean, for us, and I could say for me, that was kind of, we knew what we were getting ourselves into, going to the season. I mean, we're right where we expected to be. I mean, for us, it wasn't no surprise. Like, we put in the work the whole off season. So, I mean, us seeing the fruits of our labor right now is not really anything that we're like, oh, like it's such a surprise to us. It's just us trying to continue putting our hard hat and not let distractions in and keep the momentum going.
I want to obviously coming off Louisville, but I want to go back to Florida State real quick. Just describe that scene on the field. I think I caught a glimpse of you among the thousands of people on the field, but what was that moment like? I mean, you come to Virginia, they haven't had a winning season in a while. And so fans are hungry. They want to see success like that and to kind of live in that moment, as brief as it was for y'all, because y'all moved on real quick to get to the next game. But what was that moment like?
It was honestly just a real moment. I was getting my mind ready for that. Like the whole week, I was prepared that the fans were going to storm the field. So when it finally happened, I mean, not everyone gets to say that they was played in a game or was even at a game that they stormed the field. I think last one I was at was when my uncle played football at Northwestern. They had beat Wisconsin when they had like Melvin Gordon and all those guys. Oh, sorry. When they had Melvin Gordon and all those guys, and I remember being in the middle of that field storm. So funny, but my uncle was in the stands. So I ran in the middle, and then I look up, and it was my family. So I hopped like the fence. I actually like scratched my knuckles a little bit trying to hop the fence. And I went up there, and I just embraced the moment with my family, just because I mean they kind of helped me get to that moment, and I just appreciate them so much. So I just embraced that moment with my family, and I just brought it all in. So yeah, for my
I
own.
heard you. I've heard you have some hops and some bunnies, but getting over that wall, I mean, that's gotta be a pretty big leap there.
There was some adrenaline, so it wasn't too hard. I did scratch my knuckle though, so obviously not. The house weren't fully there, fully in.
What I mean, did you even heck have a you said you planned for the fans to storm the field, but did you have an idea of what you would be doing, when that moment came?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I just sitting there looking like, wow, it's crazy. But I didn't have any idea. I kind of just went with the flow, and then first thing that came to my mind was my family, so I went to go over there and enjoy it with them.
What's the locker room like afterwards?
It was a good win. I'm trying to think. That was shoot. It's quite a lot of
It's been
games
a
in the past. Yeah.
while.
Yeah. Yeah, I think everybody was fired up and excited. The coaches, the players. So I think it was good. But honestly, I think everybody was kind of ready for the next, like what's next. And that's what I kind of love about this team. I mean, we don't really get too caught up on one win. We're just ready for what's next. We're just hungry. We're hungry to bring kind of what Charlottesville deserves, and that's winning. So just want to continue to keep that going. So yeah, to answer your question, I don't think there was nothing different from any other one that we celebrated really.
Yeah, it was kind of that moment of realization, even for me walking out of the stadium. I'm like, well, that was great, but it's only week five. Like, there's so much season left. It's not like the end of the season game that you win and you get to celebrate and all that stuff. But, and just also, like, I mean, y'all moved ahead so quickly, even in the post game press conference, talking to different players and everything. Like, everyone, was like, not. They're happy for tonight. They celebrate the rest of tonight, but they're moving on like the next day. I was worried y'all weren't celebrating enough, just taking a moment to kind of be happy with that. But I think it speaks to the just mindset that this team has right now, that there's a greater goal at the end of the day than to beat Florida State at home or to go on the road and beat Louisville.
No doubt. I mean, we're just really just trying not to bite the rat poison, just trying to stay focused. I mean, we're kind of in control of our own destiny. And it's nobody's fault but our fault if we don't get to where we want to be. So we're trying not to have it be anyone's fault and just stay locked in on the task at hand.
You did have two wild plays in that Florida State game. The first was the tip catch that you had, and you went 28 yards down the field. Walk me through that play because I don't know how you had the concentration to come down with that, but then also the wherewithal to get upfield.
No doubt. Honestly, it was just a day one install play. They're playing off, playing a lot of cover four, trying to prevent the deep ball. So we thought we'd just take a little under 6 yard in. But he was aggressive. He saw the ball, which I mean he tried to make a great play on the ball. I saw the ball, just tried to make a play on it. And then after that, I mean, that's just my guy giving the ability, just refusing, trying to go down and continue trying to make a play for the team.
Where does that like you almost look like a running back when you got the ball in your hands, 6 foot, 200 something pounds right now. Like you look like a running back out there. Where does those in instincts come from?
Prior from just growing up playing running back.
Yeah.
I play running back up until shoot. Play running back up until eighth. Well, up until high school, and then my senior year, I got thrown back into the running back, and I played some Wildcat a little bit. So, I mean, I feel like I've kind of always grown up playing running back. I've kind of always had that knack just for bouncing off the bouncing off of catches, or bouncing off of defenders and just getting yak and just being very angry when I'm running the ball. So yeah.
Is there a receiver like that that you kind of try to model your game at, or you watch clips of, or anything like that?
No, not really. It's just me just being in, just trying to be undeniable when I'm on the field. I think that's what it comes down to. Just the team trusted the ball in my hand, so I got to do something with it.
And then the other play against Florida State, and we keep going back to this game, but there's so many things that happened in this one. The 2-point conversion, at first y'all weren't on the field. They sent the kicking unit out there, and then y'all had to go run out there, and then you make this toe tap catch in the back of the end zone. I mean, walk me through that moment from not being on the field to rushing back onto the field and coming up with a play like that.
Yeah, so I mean, I thought I was like, wait, are we supposed to? But I mean, I was prepared. Like, it's funny. So I visualize every night before the game and whatnot, and just visualizing. And one of the plays I was visualizing was that extra point play, and I was visualizing it like as in like for me to win the game. So going on, we're going back and forth, and I'm sitting on the sideline. And it's fourth quarter, I'm just doing my breathing, and I go back and I literally say to myself, I'm like, we're gonna call that play, and it's gonna be for like the game pretty much. And so we go back out there, and they call in the field goal unit. I was like, well, I guess it's not gonna be. But then they're like, oh, we gotta go back out there, we gotta go back out there. And then we huddle and we call the play, and I was like, oh yeah, I already knew in my head, like I already had seen it before, so I knew I just had to get open, lock in on the ball, and do the rest. And it happened. So yeah.
Get the feet down and everything. Yeah. And a lot of people were like, oh, how do they get a play call like that so quickly? But y'all, that's the 2-point conversion play. Like, that's
Yeah.
one that y'all drill on.
Yes.
A few times, more than a few times, I'm sure.
Yeah, we have been working on that weeks prior. So yeah,
Yeah.
second nature.
Looking at I one more play this season just to talk about is, in the opening game against Coastal Carolina, that catch there. I have you watched that a couple times back? Because I'm still not quite sure how you came down with that, but have you watched that one back?
I haven't seen that catch. I honestly haven't watched that catch since probably it's been a minute since I watched that catch.
Yeah.
Probably since the week that it happened, honestly. Unless it's like, or I guess you could say, when we do like the little hype video before like the game, before the next game, when we play what NC State, that's
Yeah.
probably the time that I've seen that catch. So
Yeah.
yeah, I try not to get too caught up in things I did prior, because I mean, what's next? It's not really gonna get me to what I want.
Always another game out there.
Yeah.
When I want to ask, 5-1, best start for the program since 2017, 3-0 in the ACC for the first time 2007. Y'all are ranked number 19 in the country. Those are just numbers. But when did you feel that this UVA team was different? What point?
I mean, I feel like I've been saying that kind of the whole all season. I feel like when I would get questioned, I mean, I remember I forgot what reporter I was talking to, but we're talking about the off season, and I was kind of just saying like, I don't really want to talk about it. I mean, anybody, this is around the time that anybody can say he say, anybody can say that we're gonna do X, Y, and Z and this, that, and the other. But I mean, I was pretty much just telling them, like, I mean, you guys will see when you guys cutting the tape, that we're just different. And I feel like, I mean, we've pretty much been showing that we're different, and we're gonna continue to keep trying to show that we're different. So yeah, one of the main emphasis that we put on this year is just Coach Elliott put on the board 2025. And like, why not this be the year? Like, no other team matters, just us. So that's what we've been trying to just buy into, just focusing on us and 2025 being the year.
So it's kind of been a steady thing. Like, you've seen it in winter workouts, you saw it in spring and over the off season and coming into the fall. Like, it just kind of all built upon each other, it sounds like.
No doubt, no doubt.
Yeah. I gotta talk about the offense because y'all have made such a leap this year. I know you're coming off, only getting, 200 some yards against Louisville, but you gotta win ugly sometimes, right? But how much fun has this offense been to play in? I know y'all have so many different playmakers, so I think we talked before about, having to, sometimes wait your turn in this offense because
Yeah.
it's going to highlight different guys. But how much fun is it to play even when it isn't your turn?
It's extremely fun. I think mainly because we all have such a humongous amount of respect for each other and love for each other that we want to see each other succeed. And I mean, it's funny because it's like for a game, you don't really know. It's like who's gonna go off this week? And yeah, so whenever whoever it is that week gets their chance, we know they're gonna make their plays and we're just excited. And I mean, the fun is in winning. So I mean, yeah, you might not get the stats that you might want, but I mean, when you're winning, I mean, I feel like winning heals all. So it's fun. And like I said, Chandler tries to spread the ball around, so it keeps everybody involved, which is good.
You had your three touchdown game against Stanford all in the first quarter. I
Yeah.
mean, you kind of took a could you could have taken a break after that,
Yeah.
but do you think there's another breakout game or big game like that down the road for you?
Yeah, shoot. I hope so. Definitely hope so. Definitely want to keep that going. Definitely want another game like that. But I wouldn't even call it a breakout for me. I feel like for my coaches, they knew who I am. They know what kind of type of caliber player I am. So I mean, for me, it's just whenever I get the opportunity to make plays like that, I make those plays and don't leave that out there for what if or what could have happened. So, I mean, I think there's definitely more in the future for sure.
We've talked a lot about Chandler Morris, just kind of the impact that he's had on this team, but what are the differences that he makes for this offense and for the team that, we kind of don't see behind the scenes?
Yeah. I think one major thing that he brings is poise and also having kind of just like one guy that we're able to just fall under and give all our marbles to and listen to and is a common voice and he calms us all down when it's hectic out there and he's not shaking at all and it calms everybody else down and everybody else is ready to go and ready to just lay it all on the line for him. So I think that's really something that he brings. Someone that's never too high, never too low. And I mean, when you see your quarterback, which commands the whole offense and is, I don't know, fourth and 15, and he's sitting there and he's confident as I don't know what, it makes you like, oh yeah, I'm good. I'm not worried about anything else. Just go out there, execute, and it's just another play. So I think that's something that he's done a great job, man, just commanding the offense.
Getting to your story a little bit, I want to go back. How did you find out or about Virginia, or what was your
Yeah.
first interaction with Coach Mims like? I heard there's a good story to go along with kind of his recruiting of you.
So I ended up, I was at Kent for what, 2 years. Ended up hitting the portal. Hit the portal, had schools offer me and I'm getting those schools and then I see a follow from Virginia. And like other schools that I was talking to, I kind of like had prior like relationships to them just because of out of high school and then COVID happened and whatnot. So like I was kind of familiar, but Virginia was kind of like a wild card. So I was like, okay, cool. So I followed them and I was doing some research on them. But I remember hearing about like Malik Washington and whatnot and what they're doing over there. So he texted me and I mean, I was pretty much all done with ball because we didn't have the best year that year, so I was kind of just chilling in my house at in Kent. And he texted me and he was like, yo, would love to meet you, come down there and chop it up and just kind of give you just our gist on the program and what I'm all about. And I was like, I mean, I didn't have class, so I was like, I don't got nothing else to do, I might as well just be open to all my options. So he comes in and it was already kind of early. Like I didn't have class. Comes at like 9. So like I had to set an alarm kind of to wake up. Like so I was already like, all right. So comes in and I mean Kent, Ohio, Northeast. So Coach Mims, Bama boy, can't handle the cold. So it's snowing. And so he's like, yo, I'm here. And I walk out and it's I don't, I'm like looking around. I'm like, I don't think he's here. And he's like in a black minivan. They could have gave my man a different car. They could have given my man a different car, but he's in a black minivan. And like, I didn't know him well enough to like knock on the minivan and be like, yo, because like, I mean, that's how I was just like, all right. So he finally gets out the minivan and he just starts shaking his head and we both just start laughing. So we come in and we go to my kitchen table, and I mean, he kind of just he's been the same person that he's been right now. Like if I was to go to the facility right now, we kind of hit it off the same. I mean, I have so much respect for him, and he told me his life story and just what he's been through, and I feel like I was able to relate, and I feel like I was able to just play for a ball coach like that. So we kind of hit it off from there, and then I ended up talking to Coach Elliott, which was even better, and I ended up coming on a visit. And I kind of knew right off of the visit. Was it my first visit? I think it wasn't my first visit. It was my first visit. And I was just being unrecruited and kind of going through what I went through at Kent. I wanted to kind of keep all my options open and see like what exactly was the best. But I mean, it kept coming back to Virginia, which was interesting because of like other schools I had some familiarity with, but here I didn't at all. And it was a big difference compared to Midwest to out here. So yeah, my heart kind of knew where home was, and I decided to commit. I've been all in since.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I can't imagine Coach Mims in the middle of a snowstorm in the Midwest, but yeah, you get here and obviously you got off to a great start last year, and then this knee injury pops up. What happened there? When did you kind of feel that? Because it was kind of in practice during the week, and then I remember watching you warm up at Coastal Carolina, and then obviously, you couldn't give it a go that game, and then before we know it, 8 games goes by, and you miss, a large chunk of action last year.
I mean, we were just practicing, and we're like, we had went Skelly, and it was like in the middle of a rack, and I was like, my knee is like, it was like my knee and my like, I didn't know if it was my knee or it was my quad, because it's like a pain I never really felt. I don't know exactly what movement did it, but it felt weird. So I was like, okay. I went to our training staff. I was like, Coach, can you try to just roll out my quad or my glute, trying to just like open me up. Maybe I just like moved like step wrong and try to open me up. So he did that, and we went to team pass, good on good. And I tried to get in my stance, and my knee just like I couldn't burst off the ball in my stance. Like it buckled, so like they had to get me out. And then after that, that was the last snap I pretty much took until like what until I think Wednesday or whatever before the Tech game. So yeah, it's like I was pointing and then I wasn't. But yeah, I had a cartilage tear in my knee, in my right knee. Had a couple like little I don't even know what to call it. Pretty much a cartilage tear, and they're floating around in my knee, causing my knee to lock up. So yeah, they had to shave it down and clean it out and get all those little tears or pieces of cartilage out of my knee. So yeah.
I know you're a guy, you just wouldn't be out on the field. So I'm sure that was excruciating, just kind of standing there watching games and everything like that. But what did you learn, from that experience that you're using now this year to, kind of come back and have the season that you wanted to?
Kind of to what I alluded to just before, just really just being just really super blessed and just grateful to be out there and be with the guys and be able to play football and like I said, just hear the whistles and be able like all like the good, bad, and ugly when it comes to football, being able to do that every day. And when I wasn't able to do it, it was hard. It was definitely struggling because I mean, it's a sport I love, and I put in all that work before to do it, and I wasn't able to do it. So I learned that about myself, and kind of just trying to take my mental to just the next level. I was already kind of in process of trying to do that, but I feel like right now I'm as mentally strong as I've ever been, and I think that's mainly just because of I mean, pretty much had a year to kind of just work on that. And just really find just that inner confidence, or try not to ever be shaken, depending on if it's a good play, bad play, or indifferent. Knowing who I am to the core, so I can perform the way I can.
You mentioned your uncle earlier, Matthew, right? What kind of influence did he have on you and your footballing journey, getting into the sport? And I know you mentioned watching him at Northwestern. What kind of influence did he have on you?
Yeah, that's my guy. He's the reason I pretty much started playing football. I went to one of his games when he was younger. I always play like backyard football with me and all the people that lived around me. But then I saw him play, and I was playing basketball first. I saw him play, and I was like, "Mom," because I have another family member who's a year older than me, and he was already playing football, but I wasn't. I was like, "It is what it is." I was kind of a pretty boy and whatnot. I didn't want to get touched, and I want to get touched. And I saw my uncle do it, and I saw how much fun he would do it. He was having, and I was like, "Mom, please sign me up for football next year, please, Mom, like please." And she signed me up, and I tried to model everything. I remember we had my first football game ever. We had like a jamboree, and I scored a couple times, and I don't know why. I remember like after my uncle would score, like he would kind of nod his head. So like, I would run into the end zone, and I started nodding my head, like looking at everyone. And the ref was like going up to my coach, like, "He needs to stop doing that. He needs to stop doing that." But but yeah, he's been such a just great mentor for me, and he's played such a just vital role into my life on and off the field. And I don't know where I would what sport I would be playing or where I would be if it wasn't for him. But yeah, he's played such a huge role when it comes to football.
I think I read he had to retire early from football, right? Due to concussions. What I guess does that motivate you more to kind of fulfill like the rest of the career that he didn't get to have?
No doubt. That's part of the reason my why. I feel like when he had to retire, I feel like I was done playing. Like that hurt me to the core. Like people would ask me about him, during middle school, and my gym teacher asked me like, "Is he okay?" And sorry about him retiring. And I remember like literally like going to the bathroom and like tears coming down my face, and like I was in pain. But honestly, like for me, it's just finishing what he couldn't get done, because like he was supposed to be in the NFL. He was supposed to be in the league, and now it's my turn. He's living through me now. Got to be a Harris boy in the league, so that's what I'm trying to get. That's what I'm on the mission to get done. Get to the league for him, my family, and whatnot. But yeah, definitely, that's definitely some motivation. Just trying to get done what he couldn't get done due to concussions.
Yeah. You mentioned basketball. Would you count yourself as one of the better hoopers on the team right now?
Yeah, for sure. I don't hoop as much as I want to now, just 'cause
Sure. Yeah.
after a couple of games, my knee gonna be it's gonna be a little inflamed after. So yeah, but definitely I definitely think I'm one
Who
of the
who's
best.
challenging you?
I wouldn't say a challenge, but some other good hoopers on the team. Cam is solid, Cam Robinson.
Is he good at just everything?
Yeah, he's an athletic freak. Sudi is good. Grady Brosterhouse, he can hoop.
Okay.
Yeah, Grady can hoop. Who else? Dre can hoop. Dre Green. There might be a couple others that I'm missing, but yeah, we got some good hoopers on the team for sure.
I'm sure someone will call you out for not naming them, but last thing I want to touch on here. I heard talk around the building all preseason, off season, even some jokes from some different people being like, oh, we might have plans late into December, we'll see at the college football playoff and all this stuff. And I know up there on the schedule in the Hardy Football Operations Center, you've got places for ACC championship game, college football playoff, and obviously the next game is the game you'll focus on. You'll focus on the bye week and then getting ready for Washington State next week. But is that what y'all had your eyes set on, I guess, when y'all started this season? ACC championship game, college football playoff, playing at the highest level of the sport.
I mean, we knew we had the roster for it and the team for it, and all that mattered was just the buy-in and what we did. We know nobody else could put in the work for us, so that's always been the goal. I mean, whoever goes into the season thinking that they're about to lose a couple games, so I mean, the goal's always been the same, is to win every game we can. So, I mean, I don't think nothing's changed. We just, we've changed it up a little bit, and we've actually put in the work, and I mean, everything's coming to fruition now.
All right, that is the artist, the receiver known as Quintrell Trell Harris.
There you
Appreciate you coming on,
go.
man.
Yeah,
I
of
know
course.
I threw that
Yeah.
name out at you, but
Yeah. Give me all for a second.
appreciate it, man. I hope you get some rest this week, and we'll see you next week for Washington State.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, that'll do it for the Who's On podcast. Appreciate you for listening today. You can follow us on YouTube at the Who's On podcast YouTube channel. Also, like and subscribe and follow on YouTube, and then also Apple and Spotify. We will catch you later in the week.